It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 345. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I have a great one I'm going to play later in the show. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You also have the wiki, mtswiki.com, where you can get links to all of the past shows, and you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. Just send me a friend request, and I will accept it. I have a great show lined up, the voicemail that is going to recap the last couple shows where I have a listener that has some comments on a few of the topics from the last couple weeks. I have a stack of email, but the first thing I want to get to is a tech support call that came in from a listener that needed my server help. And I'm going to begin there because it was Friday morning. And his name's Tyler. He's a regular listener to the show, and he needed help with one of his clients because he had a problem with the server. He contacted me on my MHS consulting phone number, and I picked up and we started talking. I came down to the computer and gave him some things to try. So we're going to go through this right now because I think it's a great lesson for what to do when this situation happens with a server, and I think everybody's going to benefit from this. So here we go. I want to thank you again for your help this Friday morning. Still being stuck at error loading operating system, which was what he was getting with his server for his client. It's a Dell server, and he kept getting error loading operating system. After getting off the phone with you, I decided to give Dell a call following your recommendations. Even though the server is out of warranty, it carries phone support for its lifetime. Dell Enterprise Hardware Support Rep Jared walked me through a few things for about 2 to 3 hours. During this time, he had me open the RAID setup and verify that the virtual drive was okay, bootable. He had me check the boot order, etc. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit because we didn't go over what I had him try. We tried a few things in clearing the cache, turning everything off before we reboot it. I had him check the RAID configuration. We also ran diagnostics on each of the disks to make sure that each of the disks in the RAID 5 array was okay. We also ran a test on the RAID controller. So I went through a whole bunch of server tasks that we were unsuccessful in getting the system to boot, which led me to believe that it was more of a serious hardware issue. In order to eliminate that, he needed to talk to Dell because they may have more advanced diagnostics or things that they can walk him through. So that's where we're at here. I'm now finished on the phone with him, where I spent, you know, an hour or two on the phone with him, and now he's talking to Dell tech support. Then he asked me to get into the recovery console. Luckily, I had a 2x USB floppy and found a blank floppy disk for the RAID drivers. We did have all the disks for SBS organized in the filing cabinet. I had some initial problems loading the drivers, but apparently it works if the floppy is second on the CD, second to the CD-ROM in the boot order. After a few reboots, I was finally in the recovery console at the prompt. Jared had me type DIR and check disk, and he attached a photo that he snapped with his phone. Jared had me take out a bank of memory and try it again, and another bank of memory and try it again. Same result. Then he wanted me to attempt a repair install. We found out that was not an option. Lastly, he had the idea to try the fix MBR and fix boot commands, both executed without any problems. I took out the CD and floppy and did a reboot, and to our surprise, it loaded like normal. Jared mentioned that those commands don't always correct the issue, but this is a rare occurrence when it did. Of course, this email makes the whole ordeal sound straightforward, but I was not feeling too hot about anything during this whole process. Once we verified the system was stable, I did a backup of the current system state and data. The server will not be rebooting for a little while without me there. I will be monitoring everything more closely than I have been until everything settles down a bit. I believe that minor power issues earlier in the week may have something to do with it, but I may never know for sure. The logs don't show anything that jumps out at me. All I know is that something Wednesday caused the recent two backups to fail, and my client told me today thinks it has been a little strange, as he put it. I am planning to reboot the server soon to verify that it can without my help. I want to do a check disk update, the OpenManage. OpenManage is the Dell utilities that helps you manage all of the components and everything on the server, like I did on our other server, as well as an update to storage drivers and firmware if needed. Generally, new versions of OpenManage complain until they get updated. Lastly, I have a meeting next week with my clients to discuss a protocol to address these problems in the event the server were down, would go down. Background info about my day. I got off work at 7:30 a.m. It was a long day for me. I worked third shift at a plant. Then after he was done work, he was helping this client. He had very little sleep. Thanks again for your help this morning. Tyler followed up with another email, and this was great. This was over the weekend. Just wanted to follow up with you once more about our server boot issue last Friday. Friday night, the server rebooted successfully without external help from me. I also had it do a disk check on boot. After the successful boot, I ran the critical and security updates, updated the OpenManage, storage drivers, MS Store port driver, RAID firmware, and BIOS. Boy, that's a lot of updates. The required reboots went smoothly with no issues. Our server is now on and running great, just like it was last week. Our event logs are just as clean as before, too. Thanks again for all your advice. What is the bottom line here? Use all of the resources possible. And yes, a shameless plug for me, if I can help, for MHS Consulting. That's my consulting company. My phone number is in the show notes for every week. Call me if you run into a problem like that. I will help you. If you can wait till I get to the email, because it's not important, certainly send it in to the Mike Tech Show, and I will get to it. But it won't be that immediate response if it's an emergency and you need help. We'll work out the payment arrangement. I'm very reasonable. I will always be there to help you if you have a client and you run into a serious problem. That's what I do for a living. That's my business. I enjoy doing it. You also have the manufacturer of the hardware. Don't forget about that. That was a great example of the Dell server going off warranty, but yet the server has a lifetime support for the phone. Okay, they won't be there for labor to be able to replace components, but at least from a phone standpoint, putting 2 to 3 hours in to help you, that's great. Dell support for the business end of things and servers is very good. I've had very good experiences with Dell server support, as with HP, and then even better than that, as Winston proved to me, the IBM phone support was just phenomenal. for an IBM server. So the server manufacturers, IBM, HP, Dell, they're your three choices. Great support behind all of them. That's the lesson here from a hardware standpoint. Also, backup, backup, backup. One of the things Tyler said when we started, I am not worried about any of the data loss because I have a good backup. I have not only a good backup of this small business server 2003, the Exchange server data and the system, he was prepared at any point to do a complete restore. What we were worried about was we needed to determine whether it was a software problem or a hardware problem, because if it was a hardware problem at the core, we don't want to reinstall the operating system again and the data because we haven't fixed the problem. Clearly, it was a software boot problem for the operating system, and that's what fixed it. But we had to take hardware, as I went over everything with Tyler and the Dell technician went over everything. We had to eliminate all of the components and make sure that the RAID controller, the drives, there's no problem, no problem with the RAM, no problem with the motherboard. And once we eliminate all of that, then the only thing that's left is the software. It made me think of the special podcast that I did with Norbert from Totally Cool Tech, where we just almost the same thing, only with a workstation, and realized that it was the motherboard that eventually was the last piece eliminated, where it wasn't the software, and we had to go through everything for the hardware. This is a similar story, only a little more serious, for more critical for business, and it was server related, and that's why I wanted to share this with you, and Tyler gave me permission to talk about it and to share it on the show. So thank you, Tyler. Also, thank you for your generous donation for helping you out. I really appreciate it. Let's give a listen to this voicemail.
Hey, Mike, this is Paul in San Antonio calling you. It's been a while since I left your voicemail, but I had a couple of topics from your last two shows that I wanted to reply to. One was you were talking a little bit about the move from IPv4 to IPv6 and how that would affect consumers and businesses in adapting that. And I just wanted to point out that it's not really as big an impact as some people may think. Currently, all the equipment you have in your home, as far as your computers, your router, your modem, are all IPv4 compatible. If you purchased a new device within the last year or so, it's probably also IPv6 compatible. But really, it doesn't make a difference when you're talking internally on your network. If everything is IPv4, you're good to go. You can still use IPv4 internally. You just need to support IPv6 as far as out from your network to the internet and vice versa. So for the majority of home users, all you really need to worry about is that your router is IPv6 compatible as far as connecting out to the internet. Internally, all your existing equipment can connect to that router via IPv4. It doesn't have to be all or nothing, one or the other. It can be both. And that way, also for businesses, if they have multiple switches and routers, they only need to worry about the devices that connect out to the internet. Everything internally can still run on IPv4 just fine. So there's no having to upgrade all your hardware or anything like that. If you do have, say, like a Roku box or some form of internet-connected, even a game console, if it connects directly to the internet, yes, it will need to support IPv6. But if you're connecting it through your router and you're already IPv6 compatible out to your ISP, then you're good to go. Also, I wanted to comment, you had a question recently about Google Sync for Outlook. And it's a question I get often. People always ask, how do I sync my phone to Outlook? How do I sync my iPad or my other tablet device to Outlook? Everybody seems to kind of consider Outlook like the central hub, and it's really not. All it is an email client. Granted, it has a lot other features to it, but that's because it's designed to be a corporate email client, more like a personal assistant program, a PIM. because it also has your address book, it has your calendar, manages tasks, and all of that. But seriously, unless you're using it with an Exchange server, there's really no need to go with Outlook. There's other good email client alternatives like Thunderbird. But also, even if you are using Thunderbird, you don't even have to sync to it either. Although a lot of devices can, there are extensions you can install in Thunderbird to allow you to sync from a BlackBerry or a Palm device and so on. But really, what I would like to see is for people to get out of the idea that you're somehow tied to having to use Outlook. If you use Google, for instance, they have their Gmail, they have Google Calendar, which is perfectly capable of handling tasks, reminders, notifications. There's Google Calendar it allows you to have multiple calendars in there for personal and business, let's say, or different projects you're working on, things like that. And the Google Calendar also allows you to share your calendars via iCal. So if you still wanted to use Outlook or even Thunderbird with Lightning extension, you can connect to your Google Calendar through the iCal format. And if you create new task appointments on the client, it syncs over to Outlook, to Google Calendar, and vice versa, and it works fine. I've used it with Outlook, I've used it with Thunderbird, but also your mobile device, if you go with an Android phone or tablet, the syncing between it and Google is automatic. There's nothing to do except log into your Google account. Your Gmail, your calendar, your Google Docs, all that stuff is automatically synced. So you can still use Outlook if you want to. You can just tie in through iCal to the Google Calendar, log into your Google Gmail via IMAP, and do the same from your Android device, set it up for IMAP, and all your email is already in sync as well. So that only leaves contacts. So you'd have to manage contacts manually in your email client on your computer and online. But you can easily export and import between the two as well. But if you go get rid of Outlook altogether and just use, when you're on a computer, use the web interface for Google Calendar and Google Gmail with the address book built into that, then there's a lot less hassle because it's automatically synced with your mobile device. And any computer you go to that has internet access, you can log into your Google accounts and use it from there, and they're all kept in sync rather seamlessly. It's a much better solution than BlackBerry with a BlackBerry server or having to manage an Exchange server with Outlook. And it would be so much easier if more companies were willing to adopt Google as its messaging communications platform. Last but not least, you also had a question. Somebody was asking about a magical app that you could run that would basically keep your computer running in tip-top shape. And my main response to that is that it's basically going to be a collection of tools. I strongly believe in using the right tool for the right job. So go out there and get yourself the best registry cleaner, like the ones in Glary Utilities or CCleaners. The best security apps, the best defragmenters, and so on and so forth. Make your own suite, and then you can always automate their processes using scripts if you want to learn how to do that. But as far as one magical all-in-one solution, I have never found one, and a lot of those that attempt to be, I have found actually cause more problems and headaches for users than they do solve any of those issues. Also, more importantly, please, anybody out there should not buy into the infomercials you see on TV for programs that promise to speed up your system and make it run so much better and keep it clean. You'll notice on a lot of those ads that they're very disingenuous. A lot of times when they show the person actually using the computer and how fast it is, they're not actually showing you the real display. It's computer generated in the commercial itself. So it's not as fast as you're seeing there, just similar to what they do with the iPhone commercials. They show you somebody pointing and clicking and moving around, and everything seems so responsive. Well, they're not really filming that live. It's done with camera tricks. And again, more than often, these kind of solutions will cause headaches rather than solve your problems. Specifically, registered mechanic or system mechanic, I don't know how many computers I've repaired because of problems from using those tools. Any of those, there is no such solution as there is today. So just collect the best apps you can for each task that you need done, and then either do them manually, periodically, or use scripts, a task scheduler, to automate the process. That's all I have. Sorry if it's longer than should be, but until next time. Thanks. Bye.
Paul, never apologize for length. That was great comment. So here is where I'm at in responding. We totally agree on a lot of things. One of them being never, never, never go to those websites or allow anybody to go to that finally fast or fixmypc.com. Just say no, stay away, keep everybody away. Don't ever go to those sites. And we totally agree on those utilities. And that's what I covered last week, basically the same comment. On the IP version 4 to version 6, don't oversimplify this. Yes, IP4 is still going to continue to work, but don't oversimplify it, because in one statement you say, you know, don't worry about it, you're all working, but hey, if you know if your router doesn't support it, you're not going to get to the internet. That's pretty important. Can't oversimplify that. As a matter of fact, I bet you most of the people that we're talking to every day would have no idea how to check their router to know whether it was IPv6 compliant or not. I bet you most people don't. Everybody here listening to the show would know and how to look for that. Everybody listen, you know, probably in the chat, most of the Mike Tech Show audience would, I would hope, know. Well, you know what? I take that back. You might not know where you'd have to log in and check to see if there's an IP version 6 option. And then you'd have to check the manufacturer's firmware. This is where the difficulty is going to be. And it's not going to be automatic. What's going to happen when you have websites that go version 6 and you can't get there? You'll get to all the other websites. You just won't get to the ones that are version 6. That's why I believe it's not a Y2K scare, but don't oversimplify this. There's work that has to be done, and it's all about the routers and you connecting to the internet. Your local networks are fine. Something I noticed yesterday with one of my clients, got a brand new Xerox, which my first time I've worked on the Work Center 3550. Awesome. Nice work group scanner, printer, fax. I just really nice. Well, when I was, the tech was there to configure that while I was there doing everything else in the new office, I'm looking, they have an IP version 6 built right in there to the firmware with the IP address that I gave for the version 4. There's an option there for version 6 to give it a version 6 IP address. I thought that was pretty cool. His network printer is already compliant. Same thing with the Dell color laser that we had. It's nice to see that. Now, what about the routers? That's where it is. It's all about those devices. And when we get closer to this and when it becomes important, I'll have shows that will make it easy for you to check. With that, and I want to continue on some more of Paul's comments, Kate has a link from Rob Pagaro's excellent piece on the subject, and it's not too technical, and it's a good overview on IPv6. I wanted to throw that in there. That will be in the show notes. Thank you, Kate, for giving me that. Paul, on your comments for Outlook, I disagree with this. Here's why. Outlook has become the norm. 100% of my clients use Outlook. They all don't have Exchange servers. Most of them do. But that's not a requirement. And the people that I associate with and run into, just, you know, fellow business owners and other people, they all use Outlook. And a lot of them don't connect to an Exchange server. It's because they got the Office suite or whatever, and they got used to it. But there's another reason. If you are communicating with people that are on Outlook, they can share contact information easier with their vCard option. You can schedule appointments easier and accept them and be able to reply. I tried to go cold turkey and for at home be on Thunderbird, and I gave it a full year. I had to succumb and go back to Outlook because that is a problem that I had to communicate with more people that have Outlook. I love Thunderbird. Thunderbird's a great email client. But keep in mind, If you are a typical user by yourself at home, yes, there's other cheaper email clients and better clients that I think you could use as opposed to Outlook. But if you're doing what I'm doing, if you are consulting, you're in a small business, and you're in a situation where you got to support, I have no choice for Outlook. I was an Outlook hater. I mean, an Outlook hater prior to Office 2010. I couldn't stand Outlook. It was just a necessary evil that I had to endure and use for my email. Outlook 2010 is far, far better than all previous versions of Outlook. I run faster with it. I crash less with it. I have the features, the custom ribbon bar that they now have is phenomenal. I give two thumbs up to Outlook 2010. I do not like all of the versions of Outlook prior. So if you are in a situation where you don't have to constantly communicate with other people that have Outlook, then Thunderbird, I think you got to give a strong consideration to using. It's free. There's great add-ins and extensions for it that you can do everything that you want to accomplish with it. Someone mentioned there's also OpenOffice. There's lots of email clients that are good alternatives to Outlook. But if you are getting Office 2010, I strongly recommend that you give Outlook another look or take a look at Outlook 2010 because it is a phenomenal personal information manager as well as an email client. And you know that's a serious comment because prior to that, I never liked Outlook. It's coming from an Outlook hater, so I think it carries some weight, I would think. Keep that in mind. But everything else, Paul, thank you so much for your comments. We're dead on. I appreciate you taking the time to put that voicemail together. I don't know everything. Comments on a lot of these things, and that's what keeps the topics going and keeps everything. We want to hear from everybody, and I think it's important. Take the time to participate into the show because that's what makes this work and that's what makes it so successful and exciting because I'm hearing from you and your comments and it doesn't get any better than that. I'll share my experiences when I can and then, together we solve every, problems. And what I hope to do here is put solutions out there and recommendations, things you haven't even come across. That's why I love it when you talk about a client problem where you're in the trenches and you're talking about or writing about issues and sharing them and the solutions because now this may trigger something down the road after you hearing this. You're going to be like, wow, let me do that. You know what? I'm going to try to run that Fix MBR and we may get lucky like Tyler did or we may do something, from one of Kate's stories from her clients, for her fixes within Office and other programs. That's what makes this work, and I appreciate everybody's participation. This is from Larry, and it's a link. Remember we asked for a link. We had the listener who wanted some referrals or any kind of feedback on that computer training company. Well, we got one, and it's not very good. And I'm going to put this link into the show notes. The above is a great answer to your listener's email about my computer career. Unfortunately, the reality is that companies like these are all in a category of not quite honest. And Larry, thank you very much. And I think we have a forum that I never realized, and it's called complaintsboard.com. That's going to be a good link that you're going to want to check out. This is from Lonnie, and he says, I have found the solution to the problem with the printer that I have been having so much trouble with. I need it to uncheck Enable Bidirectional on the Ports tab of the printer properties. Now, this is a Windows 7 print problem. That worked like a charm. I'll include a link to the site that I found the solution on. Thanks for the additional things to look into. Lonnie, This is great feedback. It's one of those printer fixes that we need to add to our book of solutions, because printing, such a problem in the Windows 7 world, at least that I've seen, and definitely it seems to all be centered around HP. As a matter of fact, Monday night, I was on Computer America with Carrie, and this topic actually came up, and we talked about this. I will try to get a link to the audio that I've recorded, or at least to the archived audio from the Business Talk Network from Monday night's Computer America show. But I think well worth listening to, because we cover a lot of different issues, and one of them was printing to HP printers. Well, this is one of those tricks that you definitely want to add to your bag of printer solutions. I know I'm going to add it. The final email, and this is, where is your XML link to subscribe to the podcast? Sorry, I know you talk about it. That is some of the podcasts now. I don't remember which one. Can you put that link on your website? Well, it actually is. The best link for the Mike Tech Show is right at the top. There's subscribe. You have blog and podcast up on the right-hand side. And the link is simple. Right now, it's, and I think this is what confuses everybody, it's mikenation.net/feed/podcast. And that gets you all of the podcasts. If you want everything, just use /feed. And that will get you the proper RSS feed for any aggregator or podcatcher that you're using. And you will get everything that I post on the website. I don't think it's that complicated, but you know what? You bring up a good point where maybe next week I will go into a little more detail on how you can subscribe to the show, but I'll tell you what I'm saving that for. I really didn't want to put that out until I've made my final conversion to have the Mike Tech Show back, because if that feed changes, I don't want to educate everybody and then have that feed change back to MikeTechShow.com. And then I'm going to have a problem with everybody that put Mike Nation in there. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make the switch. And when I do make that switch back, it could change things. And since it's doing that, I'm holding off on giving any training session within the podcast. Huge, huge thank you to everybody who has been using the Amazon link on my website, making incredible purchases this month. Please continue. Please spread the word. I really appreciate it. You are making a difference in supporting the show, and I thank you so much. The link is on the left-hand side of MikeTechShow.com, the upper left-hand side. Just click on that, make a purchase, and that purchase that you're doing using my link, your price doesn't change, but I get a commission. I get a small commission, but it is worth it, and it adds up. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of your support. The music for tonight, I had a few minutes and I decided I want to play one of my favorite songs from this artist and this group actually. But this is Fleetwood Mac, and this is a live version of Stevie Nicks with Lindsey Buckingham performing one of my favorite songs of all time. And this is a live acoustic version. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
This is for you, Daddy. I took my love and I took it down. I climbed a mountain and I turned around. know. Well, I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I built my life around you. But time makes you bolder, children get older, and I'm getting older too. So but time makes you bolder, children get older, I'm getting older too, I'm getting older too. So take this love, take it down. Oh, if you climb a mountain and you turn around, if you see my reflection in the snow-covered hills, where the landslide will bring you down, down. And if you see my reflection in the snow-covered hills. Well, maybe the landslide will bring it down. Well, the landslide will bring it down.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you, Stevie. That, of course, is Landslide by Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. A quick story. A few years ago, I love that song so much that was the most I ever paid for a concert and the only time that I ever went to a concert by myself and sat, I'll never forget, right in the middle, row 5, and I paid a lot of money to just hear that one song. Everything else was a bonus. I needed to hear that acoustic from Stevie Nicks. That was from 5 years ago. And yes, that is from the Core State Center or something a few years ago. Anyway, you know I got to have the bootlegs for concerts that I go to. That's it. You can join me same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.